Begin the current daf Masechtas Tainis daf Yud. Begin on the top line of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous dafim, talking about agadic teachings about geshem, about rain. So the Gemara continues talking about the Braisa specifics regarding Eretz Yisrael, and one of them being regarding the rain. So the Braisa tells us that Eretz Yisrael nivras tchila. First of all, Eretz Yisrael was created first. V'chol olam kulei nivra l'besayif, and then the entire world was created after that. Shemekah says a pasuk in Mishlei, ad lo yasa Eretz v'chutzais, until he made land, which is a reference to Eretz Yisrael, and those which are in the environs around that. So we see that first Eretz Yisrael is created, and then everything beyond that. Moreover, Eretz Yisrael, mashko es HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'atzmai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu waters Eretz Yisrael by himself, so to speak. V'chalom kulay deshlech. However, the entire world is only done through an intermediary. Shlomo says a pasuk in Eiv. It says, ha'nosin motra pnei art, that he places the rain on the face of the earth in reference to Eretz Yisrael. That's himself. But however, water he sends for all those areas beyond that, that's through a shaleach, that's through a shaleach. Moreover, Eretz Yisrael shoyes megesham. Eretz Yisrael drinks the rainwater, but the rest of the world gets the leftovers from the clouds after Eretz Yisrael drank, then they get, like it says in that pasuk, hanisin matra upon the arts, that he places rain on the face of the earth, which is a reference to Eretz Yisrael, for Gemin, etc., where there they get mayim, which is the leftover water, and not the mutter itself. Moreover, Eretz Yisrael shayes tchila. Eretz Yisrael drinks first. We mean to say that's where the rain comes first. V'chalolim kulo b'sayif, and then the rest of the world gets at the end. Shem, like it says in the pasuk, again, hanisin mutra upon the arts of a Gemin, which means to say that first the rain comes to Eretz Yisrael, and then the rest of the world drinks. So the Gemara brings that mashal adam, this could be compared to an analogy of a person, shemegablas agvina, who's kneading, he's making cheese. That noitel sa'ichel, he takes the solids, which is the cheese, umanechas abseilas, and leaves the leftovers, which is the whey, and that's what the rest of the world gets, in contrast to Eretz Yisrael. Amamar. So the Gemara returns to what was mentioned in the Machlekes on the previous daf between Rabbi Lezman and Rabbi Shur regarding with the rainwater. Does that come from the waters in the ocean, from the waters that are below? Or does it come from the waters in Shemayim? So Rebbe Lez's opinion was that it comes from the rainwater, comes from the oceans, from the Mayor Kindness. So that Rebbe Shua asked, but how could that be? We know rainwaters are sweet, and that's how the vegetation grows, because it was coming from the ocean waters, which are salty, wouldn't grow. So Amma, Rebbe Lez had responded. It says, they become sweetened in the clouds. There's a certain process that the clouds go ahead and remove that saltiness, and that's how it actually becomes like that, but it really comes from the oceans. So I think Rebbe Manole, where does Rebbe Elazar know this concept from? That although that it's coming from the oceans, but then it removes its saltiness from the clouds. Amir Yitzchak Bar Yisrael and Rebbe Yechanan, it says a pasuk in Tehillim. There's two psukim that seem to be the same exact pasuk with one letter difference. And on that, Rebbe Elazar makes the following drasha. There's a pasuk in Tehillim that says, Cheshches Mayim, the darkness of the water, is Avish Chakam, of the clouds of the sky. Now, there's a pasuk in Shmuel Beis that's almost identical, where it says, Chashras Mayim, that the sieve of water is Avish Chakam, of the clouds of the sky. Now, that, Rebbe Elazar says, is Shokel Chaf, you take the Chaf of the word Chashchas, and Bishad the Aresh, and you put it together with the word Chashras, which has the Resh, the Kariban, you read it as one word, Chachsharas, which Rashi explains that means to say like ches and hair interchangeable, which is hachsharas, which means to say that the clouds, which is what the pasuk ends off by saying, avishchakim, the clouds of the sky, are chashcharas mayim. It is hachsharas, it prepares, meaning it sweetens the water, and that's how he knows this drasha of that, it, although it's coming from the salty, but it has this process of sweetening it in the clouds. Then the Gemara is Rabbi Yeshua, who, he doesn't say that it comes from the ocean waters, it comes from the sweet waters in Shemayim. So Mahani Kura my Darish Bahu. So what does he expand from these psukim if he's not going to make it into this one compound word of Haksharas, because he doesn't need the clouds to sweeten it, because it's coming already sweet from above? What does he learn from these psukim? So Savalah Kihad Khiyasar Abdimi Amar, that Amir Bimarava. He came and he says this, that similar to what they say in Eretz Yisrael. The Nohar Anani, that if the clouds are visible, meaning to say that they're very light clouds, then Zir Mahi, that means to say there's going to be a very little amount of water. Chashachanani, if the clouds are dark, then Sagin Mahi, that means to say there's going to be a lot of water. And that's what the pasuk is saying, Chashchas Mayim, that if it's dark, then there's going to be water. Which from there you learn, but if it's going to be Nahar, but if it's going to be light, not dark, then it's going to be a small amount of water. That's what he learns from the word Chashchas. regarding the word chashras, that he would learn like a lashon of hashara, which is expounded on the previous daf regarding a term of sieve, like Rabbi Shua had said. But the term chashras, he learns that both, that when it's dark, then there's going to be a lot of rain. When it's light, it's going to be a small amount of rain. Now the Gemara continues a similar theme that the Gemara had been asking on the previous daf, Kaman Azla. Like we have this machlokes, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shua, regarding where does the rainwater come from? Does it come from the oceans below? Does it come from the heavens above? So who do these following halachas, are they like? So the Gemara continues asking that question. Kaman Azla Hadetanya. Now which one of these two opinions goes like the following braisa that says, Maim Hel Yoinim, the upper waters, but Maim Arhim Tluyim, they are hanging by Hashem's word, means say that they're not leaning on anything, they're just gathered and standing there like a pool of water just hanging with Hashem's word. And that the produce of these waters that are up above in heaven, they are the rainwater. And Rashi says that the reason why he calls it the Peris is because of the Lashon of the Pasuk that the Gemara is going to quote. Shanem, like it says in the Pasuk in Tehillim, where the beginning of that Pasuk was quoted in the previous stuff, that Mashka Harim Elias, Hashem waters the mountains from the area up above where he is. And it says, Mipri Masecha, from the produce of your action, Tisba Aretz, that satiates the land and the produce, which means to say that it's almost, so to speak, like the sweat of the water, which means to say that the water was not lacking anything. As the Pasuk in Tehillim Samachay says, that Peleg Elikim, the pool of God, is Moli Mayim, is always filled with water at all times. And that the Karen, the water itself remains forever, and it's the pay rice. It's the secondary that comes from that. That's the rainwater, as Rashi brings it, as so it says in Bereishis Rabba. So who is it that makes that similar drasha regarding this, that the Mayim Hol Yoinim is what then causes the rainwater? That's Kaman, that's Rabbi Yeshua, who he says that's from the Mayim Hol Yoinim. Now Rabbi Yazza, what does he do with this pasuk? He says that the rainwater doesn't come from the Mayim Hol Yoinim, it comes from the ocean waters. That's in reference to something else, in reference to Maisa Bereishis. That the original creations came from Hashem up above, but in truth, the rainwater that we have now comes from the ocean waters below. Amrim Shuma Levi says, Kala Ilam Kuli, the entire world, mitamtsis gan Eden Hushaisa. So as similar as we made the contrast between Eretz Yisrael and the rest of the world. So he says that the world, actually, in the whole entire world, drinks from the leftovers of the Garden of Eden. Shnamak says, the Pasuk in Bereishis says, V'nohar yitzim mi'Eden Mugayim, that the river came out of Eden and went into the Gan of Eden. So the sign of this is that the Gan, the Garden of Eden, drinks first the rain, and then that goes to the rest of the world. Now, similarly, Tanu learned the Braisa, that mitamtsis beis kur, from the leftovers of a vessel that has enough water to water a beis kur, which is 30 saw, shaisa, so you can then go ahead and water from that leftover, tarkev, which is, tarkev is the, it's two words of trei bakav, which means a two kavan and one kav, which is three kav, which is a half a saw, which that's 1/60th of a base core, because a base core is 30 saw. So that's what we're saying, from the leftovers, meaning a 60th, you can then go ahead, what you take from a base core, which is 30 saw, if you take a 60th, you can then go ahead and water what needs three kavan, which is a half a saw, which that's the same idea that we're saying, that the rest of the world is 1/60th of Gan Eden, and therefore it's enough to have the leftovers of the clouds that water the Gan of Eden. So you take the Tamsis, which is 60th, it's enough for the rest of the world. Similarly, the Gemara brings Tamar and Lenda Praisa. Eretz Mitzrayim, the land of Egypt, Havidald Meis Parsal, Dald Meis Parsa, is 400 parsa square. V'hu Echad Meshishim Kush. Now that's only a 60th of the land of Kush. The Kush, Echad Meshishim B'Yaylam, and Kush is a 60th of the world. And the world is just 1/60th the size of the Garden of Eden. And the garden is the 60th of Eden itself. And Eden is 1/60th of Gehenna. Nimtza, so it comes, that is, that kol olam kulay, the entire world is kikisa gedeir legehenna, is like a pot cover in contrast to Gehenna, which means say it's very small in relation to the pot. Yeshem, those that say that Gehenna ain't lashir, there is no measurement to Gehenna. The Yeshem, and some say Eden ain't lo shir, that Eden has no shir. Amr B'Eishir B'Eishir says, "My dechsev, what does it mean in the Pasuk in Yirmiyah that says, Sheikhant al-Mayim Rabban, that Babel, Babylon, was lays by many waters. Rabba Seitzaris has much in the storehouses." So the interpretation is, "Mi garm le-Babel, who caused that Babylon, Sheyu Eitzisseho Malayis Bar, that it should be like the pasuk concludes, Rabbi Seitzar says, should have much produce in their storehouses. That's what the pasuk starts off by saying, because it dwells by many waters, which means to say that help water their fields, because Bavel is the deepest of all the lands, and therefore all the rain ends up going down to the lowest place, which is in Bavel. Amar Rav, Rav says, Atira Bavel, the reason why Bavel is so wealthy, is the chatzta, is because they reap their grain, b'lay mitra, without rain, because they don't need rain. Amar Abaya, Abaya says even more, says Nekatinan, says we have this tradition that the Bavel reap their grain without rain, because Tevani, because it's a swampy and a muddy type of a land, below Yubshani, and it's not dry. And that's why they're so wealthy, because although the produce depends on water, in Bavel they never have that problem because it's such a deep and swampy land, and that's why the storehouses of Bavel are always full of produce. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again, continuation of the previous Mishnah, which is speaking about when we conclude the Saint Talamat Lebracha, when we stop asking for rain. Our Mishnah talks about when we begin asking for rain, which is Nebracha of Baruch Aleinu. So the Mishnah says, Begimel b'machesven, on the third of Cheshvan, Shoyel Nesakisham, we begin requesting rain. It says, B'shiva boy, on the seventh of Macheshvan, which is Tesvav Yem Achar Chag, 15 days after the Yom Tov Sukkos. And the reason for that, we wait that amount of time, is Kadesh Yigia Achar Shabi Yisrael, so that the latest ones of Eretz Yisrael, meaning that they should be able to reach before the waters come down, to reach all the way to Lanahar Pras, all the way to the Euphrates River, which is very far, since they have to get back home after coming to Yerushalayim on Sukkot. That's why we wait up until 15 days after, which is on the 7th day of Macheshvan. Now, Amr Belazar, he says, Halacha Gamliel, Halacha Vazar Gamliel, that we begin asking only on the 7th of Cheshvan. Now, Tanya, look in the Braise, the Hananya Omer, he says, Ubegayla, that's all in Eretz Yisrael, but in the diaspora, where there they don't begin asking at Shishin B'Tkuf until 60 days after Tkuf is Tishrei, which is the beginning of the fall, which is the autumnal equinox, which is when it begins that new season. So up until 60 days after that. And the reason is because since Bavel is a very low down place, as we just described before, so it doesn't need so much rain. So they don't start so early in the 7th of Cheshvan. They start 60 days after the beginning of the Tkuf is Tishrei. He says, Halacha Gechananya, Halacha Vazar Gechananya, that again, although we said that it's on the 7th of Cheshvan, but regarding in the Goyland, the diaspora, they only start much later, which is 60 days after the Tekuv is Tishrei. Now, that the Gemara asks, Ini, is it really so that Shmuel said, Halacha Vazar Gechananya, but Vaboyim in Eim Shmuel, but they had asked from Shmuel this same question, Me'imis Midkarina Mesin Talamater. Now, Shmuel's in Bavel, and they had asked him, from when do we begin asking that Hashem should give rain and dew? Someone who said to them, when they start bringing in wood into the storehouse of Tavus, which was his name, Rishba, who he was the bird hunter, which is for the purposes of having it for the winter months, because that's what their minig was, because since they knew that the rain is going to come from now on, that they're not going to be able to chop down wood anymore. So that's what he said, that when they start bringing in that firewood, means to say they're stopping the chop, that means the rain's going to come. That's when we begin asking for Sin Talamat Lavracha. So we see that it's then that they ask, but not 60 days after the tkufa of the fall. So that the Gemara says, what happened? That's not a question. Maybe they're the same measurement. Maybe that's the same time. 60 days after the tkufa is exactly when they would start bringing in the wood to Tavis Rishba, and therefore it's not a question. But they did have the following question. Yom Shishim, the 60th day, we said we wait 60 days after the tkufa of Tishrei. Is that Kilafnei Shishim? Does that have the same halacha as before the 60 days? Meaning to say that you don't yet mention then on the 60th day of Sin Talmata? Oy Kalachar Shishim? Or is it like after the 60th day in which you do mention already? So basically, do you mention the Sin Talmata on the 60th day or not? So Gemara says, Tashma coming here. It's actually Machlekes. Rav Amei says, Yem Shishim Kalachar Shishim. The 60th day is like after the 60th day, which is that you already do start mentioning the Sin Talmata. Shmuel Amei says, Yem Shishim Kalevnei Shishim. No, the 60th day itself is like before, which you don't yet start saying B'Sein Talmata. Now, Amar Nechem Yitzchuk, he says, B'Semanech, a sign to remember this Machlekes, who said what, of Rav and Shmuel, is Eloi Boyumaya. The ones up on top need water. In other words, those who are in the mountains need much more water because the rainwater rolls down to the bottom, so therefore you need to have a lot more rain, because it doesn't maintain itself over there, so you have to have more rain. If you're high up, those below don't need so much water because all the water from the mountains, they gather and they roll down below to the valley, and therefore you don't need so much rain itself. Now, therefore, the sign of this mnemonic is that Rav was from Eretz Yisrael, as the Gemara always says, Mechi Asar Rav Labavu, when Rav came down to Bavu. Now, Eretz Yisrael is the highest of all the different lands. That's because, so that's a reference that Rav was Eloi. And that's why he says that it's like La'achar Shishim. That means to say that you don't have, that you should mention it already, because Eretz Yisrael needs water, which we say that we start much earlier there in Zion Cheshren. So therefore, he said the 60th day was like La'achar Shishim. But Shmuel, who he's in Bavu, who he's in the diaspora, where since they don't need rain, so you only start 60 days after Tekubis Tishrei, and that's why he was saying that it's Kilifnei Shishim, and that's why you don't have to start saying it yet, in which Rashi says, actually, that's our Minig too, because Ol Ar Minhagim follow Minig Bavel, and that's why we start 60 days after the Tekufa of Tishrei. And my Papa the Gemara concludes, Ha'ilchas Ha'alocha is, Yim Shishim Kalachas Shishim, the 60th day is like after the 60th day, which is, like Rav had said, that one already begins asking Misan Talmater already on the 60th day itself. So the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, which continues on this theme, that we said we start asking either on the 3rd of Cheshvan or the 7th of Cheshvan. But the Mishnah tells us, Higi Yudzayin B'mer Cheshvan. Once it reaches already the 17th of Cheshvan, B'lo Yardu Gusham, and it didn't start raining yet, so Eschilu HaYechid Misan Gimel Tani. So then the individuals, which the Gemara is going to explain who they are, would already start fasting three fasts. Now, however, they were still allowed to eat and drink when it was already nighttime, meaning the evening before the fast. And they were permitted to do work on the fast, or and to bathe, or and to anoint, or a sandal to put on shoes, and to have intimate relations. Those things, although they're forbidden on Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, these things are permitted on these fasts. Now, if it already reached the month of Kislev, and it didn't rain yet, then Bezdin Geizin Shalosh Tanya Sal Tzibah. Then the Bezdin, the courts, would decree a fast on everybody, in the entire people. But however, again, they would be able to eat and drink when it was already nighttime, meaning they didn't have to stop eating before it turned night, like Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av. Umitram Malachi, allowed to work on these fasts, or Bechitza, to bathe, the Besicha, and to anoint, or Benil Sassandl, to wear shoes, or Betash Meshamita, and to have relations. Now the Gemara asked, Man Yechidim. So he said that once it reached already the 17th of Cheshvan, not everyone would fast yet, but the Yechidim, the individuals, they would fast. So who are these individuals? And Rav Huna, Rav Huna means to say that the rabbis. V'am Rav Huna, and moreover, Rav Huna said that Yechidim is an and Shleisha Tanis. The individuals would fast three fasts, Sheni v'chamisha v'sheni, which is called Bahab, which is this Monday, Thursday, and a Monday. So on that, the Gemara asks, my Kamash B'lon, what is Rav Huna teaching us by saying that they would fast on a Monday, Thursday, and a Monday? Tanina, we learned this in Mishnah later on, Tezvav Mabez, that says, Ein Geizin Tainas Al Tzibur B'tchil B'chamishi. We don't start off the fast for the people on a Thursday, Shleil Afkiyas Hashem, because we don't want the prices of food to skyrocket, and that is because if they started fasting on a Thursday, so that means when the fast would end on Thursday night, so people would have to buy two large meals, one for the fast that they just finished fasting, and one for Shabbos. Now, the sellers would then think, well, that must be that there's a hunger coming to the world, because why are people buying so much food, and they're going to come to increase and inflate the prices. We don't want that to happen. So, Elisholosh Tiny Sirishain is rather the first three fasts are Sheni B'chamishi B'sheni. We start only on a Monday, then and then a Thursday. Then they already noticed this, that already people bought already a big meal on Monday. And then on a Monday after that, but you don't start on a Thursday. So we know that it's always a Monday, Thursday, Monday. So what's Rav Huna teaching us? So that the Gemara says, Ma'adutei Mahana Militziba. I would have thought to say that that's only by the public. Then you don't begin on the Thursday. But that wouldn't apply to the individuals where their three fasts are only certain individuals that fast, because the tzibur doesn't fast then. Then we would think to say that you don't have to start on the Monday, because the price are not going to go up just because some individuals are buying a lot of food. And these three fasts are not part of the 13 fasts of the tzibur. That's the chiddush that no, even regarding the yechidim, we don't start on the Thursday, and therefore that's what Rav Huna is teaching us, that we do bahab even for the fast of the yechidim. Tanya Halacha is similar in the braisa, like Rav Huna. Even when the individuals would begin fasting, they would start on a Monday, then a Thursday, then a Monday. Then the Braisa continues, but they would stop on Rosh Chodesh. That is, if let's say Rosh Chodesh was on one of the either Monday or the Thursday, once they started fasting, they would stop their fast on Rosh Chodesh. And similarly, we continue in Talmud Beis, and also the different festivals that are written in the scroll of the fast, when it's forbidden to fast because of the great miracles that happened to Jewish people. If that happened to be on the Monday or Thursday, they wouldn't fast on that day. So now the Gemara clarifies regarding the status of these Yechidim who fast. So Talmud, within the Braisa, Al Yemer Adim Talmud Ani. A person should not say, look, I'm just a student. I'm not fitting to be from the individuals, that is, to fast with them earlier on to show that I'm so concerned. Rather, the Bryce is telling us that don't say that, because ultimately scholars are in the category of the individuals. Now, Ezehu Yachad Bezu Talmud, who is this that's considered either from the Yechidim, the individuals who they fast early, or as a student who they also have the same status as the Yechidim? So a Yachad, an individual, is Kol Sharo Lemnesi Parnas Al Tzibba. Whoever is fit to be appointed as a leader over the people, they're considered Yechidim and they should fast already on the 17th of Cheshvan. Talmud, who's considered a student, who he also should fast earlier, is called Shoshoel in Oysid V'Halacha B'Limudai V'Omer. That is, you ask him a question in Halacha and what he's learning, and he says it. And even if it's something as unique as a Masech to the Kala, that already considers him as a Talmud, and therefore then he should also start fasting during the time when the Yechidim start fasting. Not anyone who wants to make himself as a yachid, in other words, regarding to fasting early, Isa can make himself. Because you look like a balgaiva, as if you're haughty, that you think, oh, you're such a great person, that you're fit to be a leader over the people. If you're not, you shouldn't. Because as the Mishnah tells in Masechtas Avos, that kasharuch habriyas nechem, and the people should be pleasant with you, and if they assume that you're being a balgaiva, they're not going to be so pleased with you. So therefore, you shouldn't go ahead and Isa and make yourself as the Yechidim, but Talmud Isa. But a student could go ahead and make himself like the Yechidim, as we just said before, that all Talmid HaChacham are fit to be like the Yechidim, and no one's going to assume that it's a sign of Gaiva. That's the opinion of Rav Meir. B'Yisaymer, he says that Isa, actually every single person can make himself, even if he's not a Talmud, he can make himself like a Yechidim, like the individuals, to fast earlier on. And Bezach HaLatayv, and actually he's recalled for goodness, because Lafisha in Shvachulai, it's not a praise. What type of gaiva is it to fast early? Elitzarulai, it's pain for the person, and therefore it's not gassus, and therefore everyone could go ahead and make themselves as a yachid to go ahead and fast earlier. Taniyach, we learn another braisa. Loikala roita lasis atzma yachid oisa. Not anyone who wants to make himself like the yachid can make himself, but Talmud oisa, but the student could, as we said before, divrei b'shem Melazar. He says, when did we say this? That not everyone could go ahead and make himself like a yachid. That's b'davish shel shvach. That's regarding things of praise, which is a sign of greatness. B'davish shel tzar, regarding things of pain, you could, and which is the context of what we're discussing in our Gemara regarding fasting. And b'zarch l'tayv actually is recalled for goodness, she'in shvach ulay, because it's not a praise for the person. El tzar ulay, it's pain, and therefore one can go ahead, no matter who he is, and consider himself like the yachid and start fasting earlier because of the lack of rain. Regarding someone that was fasting regarding a certain trouble, a pain, and it already passed, or he was fasting because of someone that was ill, and then the person was healed, or the same thing would be if, let's say, the sick person wasn't healed, but rather that he died. However, the person should still conclude the fast and has to fulfill the neder that they're taken to fast. Now, the reason is because if not, it would seem like he's making conditions with his creator to say that, oh, if the tzar passes, then I'm not going to fast. But if not, then I'm going to fast. And therefore, the person should always conclude his fast, no matter what happens, even if something happens in the middle of the fast. If someone goes from a place where they're not fasting, to a place where they are fasting, you should follow the minhag ha'makom and fast with them. If someone goes mimakam shemisanin, if he's going from a place that was fasting, lamakam shein misanin, he comes to a place where they're not fasting, harizim misanin mashim, he should still continue and conclude his fast, which he was makabel with the people from his city, because that's the halacha where we put on the stringency the person of the place where he left from into the place that he goes to. Now, shachach va'ochel v'shas, let's say a person forgot, and he ate and he drank. So after the fact, al yisro b'fnei hatzibah, he should not show himself to the people that he's eaten, because then he looks like what would be the metaphor of a chassan, a groom amongst the avail, amongst the mourners, and they'd be jealous of him. Like, here we are fasting, we're so hungry, and here this person's eating. Even if he ate, he shouldn't go ahead and accustom himself to delicacies. Like it says a pasuk in Bereishis, how a person should avoid having people notice that he's not fasting, and they are. It says a pasuk, Vayemer Yaakov Levanav. Yaakov told his sons, the Shvatim, Lamatisro, why are you making yourself visible? And that is, Amalem Yaakov Levanav, what Yaakov said to his sons was, Al tiru atzmachem kasha'at misveim. Don't make yourself visible when you're satiated. In other words, that don't let people see that you have wheat and you have food to eat. And now that's the whole reason why they went to go get food, so that people shouldn't notice, that they shouldn't be visible, a little bit from the Esav, not in front of the sons of Esav, who they were in pain and they were hungry because of the hunger. A little bit from the Yishmael, not in front of the Yishmaelites. So that they shouldn't be jealous of you. That's the same idea that someone that's not fasting, everyone else is fasting, don't do it in front of everyone else, because then the people are going to be jealous. Now, further on that parsha there in Bereishis, when Yosef was telling the Shvatim when they were going back, he told them, "Al tirgizu baderech, don't be ruggas on the path, on the road home." Now, ruggas has many different definitions. So Amr Blaza, he says, that Amlam Yosef la'achav, what Yosef was telling his brothers were, "Al tisasku b'dra halacha." Don't get involved in a halacha discussion. That maybe the road will be ruggas on you, which Rashi interprets to say that you might get lost, you might have a blunder because you might get so involved in learning, and therefore don't go ahead and get so involved in learning on your way back. Now that's Gemara asking, is that really so? But that we see that people should be learning when they're on the road, because the Gemara tells us that shnei tamidei chamish mahalcha maderech, if there's two Talmudic scholars that are going on the road, they ain't been named divrei Torah, and there is not a discussion of the words of Torah amongst them, ruin l'sarf, they are fit to be burnt. Shemek says a pasuk malachim beis, says vehihei mahalchim, that they, Elisha and Eliyahu, were going, halach v'dabe, they were going and talking, vehinei rechav esh, and behold, there was a chariot of fire, v'susi esh, and horses of fire, v'yefrid b'meishneim, and it separated between the two of them. Now, the inference is time of the Ikadibr, that because there was speech of Torah between them, and that is why the Torah is writing it, to tell you that had they not been involved in a Torah discussion, they would not have been deceived. Haleka Dibur Ruin L'Sav, that is, if there is no discussion of Torah amongst them, that they would have been fit to be burnt. Now, so how can Yosef tell them not to get involved in the Torah discussion on their way back? Nothing must have loikash, not a difficulty. There's two types of Torah discussions. Hal L'Migris. To have a discussion of Torah itself, that's necessary on the road, because if not, one is fit to be burnt. However, Ha'ali Yune, what Yosef was telling them was not to get so involved in something that requires a lot of insight, because that's something that you might be rugged baderech, and therefore he says, don't get so involved in the altis askub d'var halacha. However, but just to learn, have words of Torah, for sure that's necessary, even when one is of alech d'chavaderech. Another interpretation for the pasuk of Al Tirgizu Baderech that Yosef was telling his brothers, Masnit Tana, we learned in the Braisa, that what does it mean, Al Tirgizu Baderech? Al Tafsiu Psi Gasa, don't take large steps. In other words, don't hurt yourself by taking large steps. And also, he was telling them, Achnisu Chamalir, come into the city when the sun is still up. In other words, that you should go and find lodgings when the sun is still out. As the Gemara explains both of these things. Al-Tafsir Psi Gasa, he told them, don't take large steps. Damamar, as the Gemara had said, Psi Gasa, Neitelas Echad Mechamish Meis, Mimir Einav Shal Adam. Large steps, large strides, takes 1/500th of the person's light, of his eyesight that he has. And therefore he says, don't do that. Vechnisu Chamalir, and that you should come into the city when the sun is still up. Rabbi Huda Marav, Damar Rabbi Huda Marav, like Rabbi Huda said, the name of Rav. A person should always start his journey when it's in the state of Kitaiv. In other words, he should wait till the light comes out, as the Pasuk says in the beginning of the Torah, the Yara Lakimas or Kitaiv, that he saw the light, that it was because it was good. So that's when he says Kitaiv is a reference to light. So only start your journey when it's already sun is out. And you should already come back, you should settle for the evening when it's still Kitaiv, when the sun is still out, when the robbers are not, the bandits are not out on the road, and also that you shouldn't fall into the pits or to the whole cracks that there are in the ground because you won't be able to see at nighttime, and also that people shouldn't start spreading rumors about you that you're a spy or that you're a thief. What are you going out walking out at nighttime? And therefore, one should always be on the road only when it's light time. When it's not, one should be in his lodgings. Shnamek says the pasuk in Bereishis that it said Habaker Ar, that the morning was light, and then the men, the brothers, were sent from Yosef. From here, you see that they were sent out by Kitaiv, and therefore the same thing would apply, that one should already come into his lodgings also when it's still Kitaiv before it gets dark. Now, continuing on this idea about what one should do when one is on the road, again, a halacha from Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Huda, Amr B'chia, Hamhalach Baderech, someone that's going on the road, Al Yechel Yosef Mishnei Ru'avin, he shouldn't be eating more than one eats in a hunger year, where the Gemara on the next daf will tell us that a person has to fast, he has to starve himself in a hunger year, one should not be eating more than what's necessary. Now, my time, why is it when one is on the road, one should be eating that minimal amount as one eats in the hunger year? So, hachar tergimu, here in Bava they interpreted, it's mishuma yana. It's because of a person's intestines, and that is a person's stomach shouldn't get hurt himself because of he's going to eat too much and he's going to be on the journey. That doesn't do well for his stomach. But Marav Amri in Eretz Yisrael, they said the reason is mishum mizayni, because of food, and that is because if you're going to eat too much and you're on a journey, at later on the journey where you're not going to have food around, you might run out of provisions, and that's why you shouldn't be eating. You should eat only the minimal amount. So the Gemara asks, my benai, what's the reason, that what's the difference between these two reasons? So Ikebenai, the difference is, we continue to talk about Yod Aleph and Aleph, the Yasa Bi'arba. If the person who's on the journey, but he's sitting on a ship, where there the reason of sustenance, of provisions, definitely applies, you might run out. But regarding one's intestines, that's not applicable because one's not moving anywhere, they're just sitting, and therefore that wouldn't hurt a person's stomach. Inami, another difference is, the ka'azl mi'avna li'avna, where a person's going from the place where the merchants stay, they go from one village to another village, where there there's provisions all around, and therefore there's no concern about provisions, but there would still be the problem about walking and going and coming, where it would hurt one's stomach, and therefore, according to that interpretation, one should still eat a small amount. Now the Gemara concludes this discussion with an incident there at Papa called Parso Parso. Whenever he would walk a parasa, achal chad rifti, he would eat a whole loaf of bread. Now, the Gemara explains, because Ksavim Shemayana, that he held the reason why one should not eat when one's going on the road is because of one's stomach. Now, therefore, he wasn't concerned with that because he was a very heavy individual and therefore he wasn't concerned about eating and that it was going to affect his stomach. Another interpretation is that he had a wide stomach, whereas the Gemara says in Masechtas Bava Metzia about how great were his limbs, and therefore he was able to eat a lot and that it wasn't going to be harmful for him, and therefore he did eat a lot because he held the reason was because of the intestines, which wouldn't affect Rav Papa.